God's grace makes human faith possible. In this circle of grace and faith, miracles enter and bless our world. So we will have the prelude now. Holy, holy, holy. That was nice to hear the organ playing again. It's been some time. Please stand and we'll have our call to worship. Come into God's presence. All are welcome here. Come, saints and sinners alike. We are all God's children. Faith has brought us here.
Grace
makes us whole. Come, let us worship. The opening prayer today, we can recite along. Faithful and loving God, your grace makes our faith possible. May we live and go about our lives as people who place our trust in you. May we love and care for others as people who turn to you for help. Where there is doubt or trust, renew our faith. Where there is fear and insecurity, grant us courage. Where there is fatigue and weariness, give us amazing strength. Where there is confusion of a purpose, give us wisdom. Where there is sorrow and loss, bring us peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you. Amen. Friends, you may be seated. As you're seating yourselves, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you are with us, that you hear our prayers, that we don't speak to the void, but that you are present beside us, listening. God, we lift up both our joys and our sorrows, the things that make our hearts heavy and the things that bring them gladness. Lord, we pray for Mike and Judy Waddell as Mike's mom goes to hospice. We pray for all of those who are in the hospital who need to recover, who are being healed by you through our doctors and our nurses. God, we ask that you're with those who suffer, those who are in sorrow, that you might give them hope and peace and grace. God, we give you thanks for birthdays, for anniversaries, for new births, for all of the things that remind us that you are good, that there is hope and light in this world, that the earth continues to turn, and that we continue to rejoice. God, we give you thanks for our families, for those who have come from both near and far to gather with us. We give you thanks for all of the ways that you bless us. God, we pray for our world. We pray for disasters, both human-made and natural. We pray that you might keep us safe in times of distress or uncertainty. And Lord, we pray that you might be with us and that we might be aware of your presence so that we might not lose hope, that we may continue on, and that your kingdom might be made just a little bit more visible every day. Lord, help us build the community of Christ that all may know that you are risen. You are risen indeed. God, we give you thanks. We ask that you're with us, both with our prayers that we have spoken aloud and those that are quiet within our hearts. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. So friends, with the confidence of the children of God, we invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Hey, if there's any kids in the sanctuary, in the church, why don't you come on up? Good morning. How you guys doing? Good? Did you get enough sleep last night? No. Why? What happened? Were you up all night? Brothers. Oh, I never had any. How is it having brothers? Fair enough. Friends, have you ever seen a little baby before? Have you seen a little baby before? You've got candy, which is almost as cool as babies, right? Or maybe way cooler. What do we think? Those in favor of babies, raise your hand. Those in favor of candy, raise your hand. It's not an either or, friends. You can raise your hands for both. So I got to see a really, really little baby yesterday. Do you know how old they were? Do you want to guess? Little. How old do you think the baby was? 2 weeks? I wish. Those are the cutest babies. Not even a month old. Actually, it was a 6-week-old baby. I know. He was so adorable. Do you know what's really funny about babies, though? They what? Their smile is adorable when they finally start to do that. Do you know what babies' schedules are? They eat, they sleep, and they fill their diapers. Amen? Amen. And do you know how regular that schedule is? All the time, but not very regular. See, when a baby's tired, what do? Sleep. And when a baby's hungry, what do? Cry. They really do. And when a baby has to fill a diaper? Yeah, you know the rest of the story, right? So this baby, though, was exhausted. He had been up all night. He was completely out. And have you ever seen a baby when they're just super, super tired? What do? Sometimes they whine and cry, but when they're super, super tired, they just pass out. And so this baby was so tired, he had stayed up all night, and it was like the middle of the day. And so we held this baby in our hands, just his back in this hand and his feet in this hand. And you know what he did? He was so asleep that his head rolled back. Sorry, you need to hear the mic. His head rolled back, and his arms were just out like this, hanging at his side. And we could pinch his cheeks, and we could tickle his tummy, and we could do every single thing in the world. And you know what he would do? Continue to sleep. He'd continue to sleep because he was tired. Have you guys ever been tired before? Yeah. Hey, adults, have you ever been tired before? Now, there's this thing that we call Sabbath. Do you know what it is? So Sabbath for us is Sunday, and it's one of those things that I think is super important for our society and our community and our families to reflect on. Do you know why? Hey, adults, how many of you have worked 7 days a week for a few weeks at a time, 8 hours a day? Anyone been there? What's it like? Awful, exhausting, terrible. So when the earth was created, at the very beginning of everything, not just the earth, like all the whole universe, God said, after God was done making it, it is really good to rest. It is really good to rest. It's actually something that's very important for humans. We can't work 100% of the time, all the time, without any breaks. Amen? Amen. Which is why, on Sunday, we set this day aside to rest as best as we're able. To be with our families, to be with our communities, to worship God, to take a break so that we can get back into the week. Or maybe to take a break so that we can be human. So in the gospel today, you're going to hear a story about a little girl who was asleep. But I wanted to take this moment to remind all of us that it's important to rest. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? All right. Pray after me. Dear God, thank you for sleep and rest and comfy beds and trees and grass that we can take naps under. And thank you that you love us so much that you told us to take breaks. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thanks, kids.
Today's scripture comes from Genesis 12, 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from the country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went to the Lord and told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife, Sarah, and his son, brother's son, Lot, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the person whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land of a place called Shechem, and to the oak Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "From there we moved on to the hill country and on east to Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west of Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked his name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward Negeb." So ends the reading of today's scripture lesson. Now we'll have special music. Savior, like a shepherd, leads us. Thank you very much. Very enjoyable. Let's please stand and we'll sing the hymn of preparation, "Fairest Lord Jesus."
Amen. Friends, you may be seated. Our gospel reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, and then 18 through 26. Friends, this is the good news, according to Matthew. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collection station. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And so Matthew got up and followed him. And as Jesus sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And while he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader came in and knelt before him, saying, My daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. And then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and, seeing her, said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house and he saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread through all of that district. The good news of Jesus Christ, and all the people said, Amen. Amen. Friends, I probably should have titled this sermon, "I'm Just Resting My Eyes," rather than "Without Delay." But I want to stop and retell or reimagine that story of the little girl. And for context a little bit, you've had like 5 or 6 different stories in both the Gospel and the Old Testament reading today. So there is a wealth and a treasure of stuff to dive into. You're going to have to forgive me. I can't get to all of it. Is that okay? Okay, good. Thank you. But friends, the little girl, who was not dead but asleep, or was dead and perhaps Jesus just said she was asleep. Jesus does these funny things where sometimes he tries to keep the good news quiet, or at least quiet for a time. Can you imagine the father comes to Jesus after Jesus has both called Matthew, went to his house and started to have dinner. I wonder if they were grilling hot dogs and hamburgers with potato salad and baked beans. At least that's how I like to imagine it. Having dinner with Matthew and the tax collectors and the sinners. And the Pharisees were there. The religious folk, the people who went to synagogue and church were also there. And not only the Pharisees, there's a story that we didn't read that we skipped over today where John the Baptist's disciples were even there. It was a party, friends. They had the grill out. There was the cooler. You had those really pretty lights, you know, the Edison bulbs across. You know what I'm talking about. It was a good old-fashioned Midwest cookout during the summer. And all of a sudden, one of the leaders of the community comes to Jesus, probably in tears, heart rent, not knowing what to do. His daughter had just died. His daughter had just died. And he says, Jesus, I don't know. But I know you can heal her. I know you can bring her back. Please. Please. So Jesus gets up and he goes. And he gets to the house and the mourners are there. They're playing the dirges on their flutes. Everyone's weeping. And what does Jesus say? Stop, it's fine. She's not dead, she's just asleep. Have any of you ever told a joke before and it fell absolutely flat? I wonder if this is how Jesus felt as soon as people said, Jesus, you're crazy. You're not a doctor, but you don't know what you're talking about, clearly. Clearly she has passed. And so Jesus shoos them out of the house and walks in and takes the girl by the hands. And what happens? She wakes up. She wasn't dead. She was just asleep. I told the kids about the baby. That's a true story. Oh man, he was so cute. You should have seen him. Sometimes when we see children, very, very young infants, they look like they are, I know, just asleep, right? They look like they are asleep. You can poke them, you can prod them, you can nuzzle your nose into their neck, and they will not wake up. In fact, some of the most terrifying moments I have had as a young parent are trying to decide, do I go into my kid's room to see if they are awake or even breathing? Because they have been quiet for way too long, and while I really enjoy the silence, I need to make sure they're alive. Amen? Or those times when you're a new parent and you say, I don't know if they're breathing or not. And 10 seconds, 20 seconds go by and you're about to call 911 and all of a sudden, they breathe. It's nerve-wracking. It's terrifying. It's the worst feeling in the entire world. And yet, they're just sleeping. It's fascinating that Jesus, though, because there's other parallels with this gospel story throughout the rest of Scripture. It's fascinating, though, that Jesus leaves immediately. See, something different is happening here. Christ is trying to tell us something specific about life, I think. He leaves immediately, whereas here then. Where if we remember the Gospel of John, I think it's chapter 11. Who had died? Or who was sick, rather? He hadn't died yet. Lazarus, right? Lazarus. And they come to Jesus and say, Lazarus is sick. We need you to come and heal him. And what does Jesus say? We've got some time. We'll get there when we get there. That was a really, really stellar moment of pastoral care that Jesus gave. Amen? And yet, Christ goes to the tomb and raises Lazarus from the dead and says, see here is the glory of God. See here is the resurrection. There's other times where things happen just as fast as can be. The call of Matthew, Jesus is walking by the tax collector's booth, passing the H&R Block and saying, hey, what are you doing? Taxes. Follow me. And what does Matthew do? He follows. There's our Old Testament story where Abram and Sarah are hanging out in the city of Ur. They've started a life. They have property. They have relationships and family. And all of a sudden, God says, what? Follow me. Follow me south to Canaan. Pack everything up and go. How many of you have moved recently? Let me tell you, my dad was just reappointed to Carlisle and he is super excited, but do you know what I wasn't excited about? Moving his big, heavy oak furniture. Do you know where the best place to put oak furniture is? Down in the basement. Packing everything up and moving is a task, it's a chore, it's not all that fun, even if there's excitement to get to the next place. But what's fascinating about Abram and Sarah is that it wasn't just the next place. See, they got to Canaan, the promised land, the land that God said, I will give your ancestors and your descendants, I'll give your descendants this land forever. But the Canaanites were living there, and so Abram didn't stop. He moved on to a place they call the Negev, which just literally means south in Hebrew. Do you know what's south of Israel? Well, in modern times, it's Saudi Arabia. Do you know what's in Saudi Arabia? Sand and desert. And Abram and Sarah moved south in stages. It's not like even they just made a straight beeline to where they were going. They didn't necessarily know where they were going. They moved south day by day, trying to figure out where God was leading them. We're not dead, we're just asleep. We're not dead, we're just asleep. And what's fascinating still, as Jesus hurried on to this little girl, what happened? He was walking through the crowds, and then there was a woman who had been dealing with internal bleeding for how many years? What did it say? A long time. 10 years? 12 years. 12 years. A malady that she had been suffering from. And she says, all I have to do is touch the hem of his cloak. All I have to do is touch the hem of his cloak. Now, friends, let's put this into context. Jesus had been where? At a party, having hot dogs and hamburgers, enjoying company with people. And then all of a sudden, what happens? A need came up, something that had to be taken care of. Someone needed help, and so he rushed off. And then on his way, what happened? Another need came up, and he had to pivot and help this woman who had been suffering for 12 years. We've all been there, though, haven't we? We've all been there, where we are laser focused on a task, and then what? Someone comes up and needs help with rent. A child calls and has a question. You meet someone new that it's good to meet, but you didn't plan on it. Or you're at a concert and a storm comes up and you have to figure out how and where you're going to sleep that night because you had been tenting. This is real life, isn't it? What Jesus is doing here is trying to navigate what it means to help us realize that we are not dead. We are just asleep. Friends, who is the little girl in this story? I know, we've been like Abram and Sarah in the desert, wandering in stages from place to place, not quite sure where this sermon is going. And yet, who is the little girl in this story? I would suggest that the little girl is perhaps us. You look out into society, into life, and you see the news, or have conversations with people, or wonder what is becoming of not only our community, but our beloved institutions. What is happening to the church? The church in general, the United Methodist Church, maybe even our local churches, maybe even us as people of faith, we're not dead, are we? We're just resting our eyes. Perhaps we're not dead, we're just starting to wake up. Friends, that's the hope in this story, at least for me today. You know, sometimes I come back from annual conference and I wonder, what was I doing down there for that many days? And yet, talking with colleagues, I wonder, are we waking up now? Are we ready to do the ministry that God's called us to now? Are we ready to take another step and continue to help build the kingdom of God, to actually make the community of Christ visible in our lives? But just like we asked you last week at church, I've had this sinking suspicion, I've had this nagging feeling that, do we know what the kingdom of God looks like? If I was to ask you that now, would you feel comfortable in your answers? And it's okay not to be comfortable in answering that question. Because what I wonder is, have we reflected enough on what God's community truly looks like? If we take the gospel reading today, what does God's community look like? Remember, it was tax collectors and sinners and people from the synagogue and even disciples from other leaders, and you might even call them other churches. It was people gathered together that didn't quite look like each other or talk like each other or think like each other, and yet what were they doing? Sharing a meal, celebrating, being each other's presence, even in the midst of questions that might not have easy answers. What else? Jesus said something along the lines of, I require mercy, not sacrifice. Now, I know we don't really do sacrifices in the modern church at all anymore. I know that word is kind of hard to wrap our minds around sometimes in a religious context, but how many of you have ever sacrificed for something? If you've put money away into a bank account trying to save, was that easy? It was hard. You sacrificed. If you've had kids, every day is a sacrifice for your kids. If you work in the community to make it a better place, every day is a sacrifice trying to help us become who we've been called to be. And yet here Christ is saying the community of God requires mercy, not sacrifice. And perhaps we can look back at the Psalms to amend that a little bit and say, make mercy your sacrifice. Offer kindness as your offering. See, the kingdom of God not only invites all people, not only is open to all people, but it's a kingdom where our greatest and hardest, most difficult task is to be merciful and to be kind and just. Jesus is quoting Micah 6, and so am I. The kingdom of God is a place where healing is the primary task. What does Jesus drop everything for? A little girl who's asleep and needs healing. What does Jesus stop even that mission for? A woman who comes up and to just touch the hem of his cloak and need healing. And we're not talking just physical healing for us today. It's healing of our souls and our communities, of our politics and our relationships, the ways that we actually interact with one another. It's healing throughout all of our lives. And at the end of the story, what does Christ do? The little girl who's lying on the bed, resting her eyes, he takes her by the hand and leads her where? To life. Back into the community. Where once there was mourning, there is now rejoicing. Friends, that is the kingdom of God. That is what the community of Christ looks like. A place where we help lead each other back into life and to joy. Where we help each other bandage the wounds that we gather throughout the week so that we might be whole. Where we have welcomed all people because the love of God is around and for all people. Friends, it's been a long, I don't know, when did COVID start? Just last week, right? It feels like an eternity, and yet it's only been how many years? And yet, perhaps we are the little girl. Perhaps our churches are the little girl. We're not dead. We are just starting to wake up. Friends, may you ponder on what the kingdom of God looks like, because in that we will find life. Amen. Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thanks for giving us a text with way too many stories in it. Thanks for helping us remember that you have come to bring life and to bring it abundantly. Lord, help us widen our circles. Help us grab each other by the hand and lead one another to life. Lord, make straight our paths so that we can walk swiftly to you and your community. Lord, heal us so that we might help other people be healed by you. Lord, bring about your kingdom. Establish your community. Help us be your people so that we might step out of mourning and into rejoicing, that we might know that you are alive, that we might be a part of what you are building, that we might find not only hope, but vision. God, help us dream about what you are doing and long for what you are bringing forth, so that we might wake up and say, I was just resting my eyes. Lord, thank you. Thank you. And all your people said, Amen. Friends, it is that time where we get to actually live this story. It's the time where we share a simple meal of bread and juice with one another, where we remind each other that you are a beloved child of Christ, loved by God, and there's nothing that can separate you from that. Friends, this is Holy Communion. This isn't my table. This isn't the table of the United Methodist Church. This is the table of the living God, and all people are welcome here. We'll have bread up front that will tear off. We'll have juice with individual cups. The wastebaskets for those cups are to the side. There are offering plates if you'd like to bring your offering up. We even have gluten-free if you need gluten-free. But friends, you are welcome at this table because God loves you, and so do we. If for whatever reason you don't feel ready to take communion today, if you still want to come up, cross your arms, we will give you a blessing. Because God loves you. So friends, this is Holy Communion, and all are welcome here. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Friends, let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks We give you thanks that you are with us, that you have blessed us, that you continue to call us from death into life, from sleep into awakeness. God, thank you. Thank you. Lord, help us remember what you have done. Your life, your teachings, your love, your suffering, your death, but also your resurrection. Help us remember that you have called us, that your Spirit dwells within us, that your light shines through us. Lord, help us remember that we have the breath of life in our lungs and your image on our faces. God, help us be your people. Help us be your people. Amen. And so, with all of those who have gone before us and all of those who will come after us, I invite you to raise your voices in the unending hymn and praise the name of God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Friends, on the night which Christ offered himself up for us, he was again sharing a meal, celebrating with his disciples. He took the bread, he blessed it, and giving it to his disciples, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat this as often as you can in my memory." And in the same way, after the meal had ended, he took the cup and filled it with the fruit of the vine, saying, "Take this and drink. This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you can in my memory." And so, friends, in memory of these powerful and mighty acts in Jesus Christ, as we ourselves are holy and living sacrifices, I invite you to raise your voices once again and proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Friends, would you pray with me once more? Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, that they may be for us your body and your blood, that we may be your body, redeemed by your blood. Lord, make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world until you come in grace and in glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All the people said, amen and amen. Friends, this is the table of the Lord, and all are welcome. Friends, may you never forget that God loves you, that you are a beloved child of the Creator, that Christ keeps you in his grace. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, we invite you to stand as you are comfortable and join us in our closing hymn, I Sing the Almighty Power of God, which can be found up on your screens or in your thick blueback hymnal on 152. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. Friends, may the Almighty God bless you and keep you. Lift God's face upon you and shining smile. Friends, go with God. Know that we are yet alive. Know that we were merely asleep, but we are waking. Friends, may we wipe the dust from our eyes. May we walk in the light of Christ, may we continue on so that the world may know that Christ is risen. And may the kingdom of God, the kingdom that widens the circle, that goes and heals, that holds one another's hands and leads them to life, may the kingdom of God be upon this earth and amongst our community. Go with God, and God will go with you, now until the end of all things. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, go, rest, enjoy your Sabbath. Today, our service has ended. All right.